Welcome to the Inspired Energy Podcast and the special Roaring 20 series, where we connect with inspiring leaders, experts, and coaches as they reflect on the past decade, sharing their insights, tips, stories, and lessons. And then we look to the upcoming decade, where we discuss their hopes, dreams, goals for their areas of expertise and also the broader humanity. So grab your dancing shoes or your favorite drink as we head into the Roaring 20s. I'm with Melanie Middeggs, and we are talking about the past decade and the next decade as we head into the Roaring 20s. Melanie, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for inviting me to this really awesome question, I think, that you're
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, and the chance to chat and to connect again. I love getting to know you early this year in Bali and just your whole approach to what the work that you do. You are a futurist and teacher of the chakra philosophy for business, and we're going to get into that. And I just want to acknowledge the whole passion you have for the work that you do and the work that you bring into corporations and changing people's mindsets around what it is around emotional intelligence and this philosophy. Mm-hmm. How are you?
Yeah, I'm fabulous. It's hot though. It is hot. I know, I can't remember how long it's been since we saw each other in Bali, but I don't think it's rained since I've seen you. Like, it is hot and dry here right now.
Well, I know last time I was there, the locals were saying it's hot. So if the locals are saying it's hot, it is hot. Yeah.
And I've been here for 5 years now. So, and I'm saying it's hot too. Yeah.
So let's look back on the last decade. Mm-hmm. So help me out and help our listeners understand, when did you get into this area that you focus on now?
Yeah. So teaching Sharpa philosophy for business, my turning point was actually 7 years ago when I started to study to become a psychosomatic therapist. But I would say the whole process started probably a decade ago when my world was just like, felt like it was falling to pieces around me.
Okay.
And yeah, it was psychosomatic therapy that really woke me up. And it was just, I knew instantly when I was doing that training that this was what I had to teach people and to get them to wake up to see the bigger picture of what's really going on.
And for people that don't understand, what is psychosomatic therapy?
So psychosomatic therapy is the study of the mind and body connection, psych meaning the mind and soma being the body. And what I'm trying to do is actually read it. So you can read the whole body and it aligns to a lot of emotional aspects, personality aspects and what we're holding on to. But you can also read the face. And so I bring face reading into my work. But I find it's if when we use our body as the compass to what to do, it's a game changer. And we're numbed out. People that aren't awake are numbed out. That's why there's so much addiction, so much depression.
Mm. What has it meant for you personally to have this understanding? And I know that you teach it for others. What has it meant for you?
My whole world has changed. Like the whole thing has changed. I used to dream. Actually, I remember when I was, because I'm 41 now, so 10 years ago I was 31. Even before that, when I was about 29, I had this picture up on the back of my bedroom door of like a villa. It wasn't a Balinese villa, but it was a villa with sort of that, you know, Balinese kind of feel to it. Yeah. And I used to look at it, wanting it, but just thinking, I have no idea how that's going to happen.
Mm.
No idea. And through understanding my body, that has just shifted how I make decisions, understanding myself on a bigger and a deeper level to start doing things that are right for me rather than just kind of going along with the crowd of like what life is supposed to look like, basically.
Yeah, okay. So from a decision-making process, do you actually take that moment to tap into what is your body telling you before you sort of just leap in and maybe even go through it unconsciously through life?
I use it more like when I'm making my decisions, when my body plays up, it's like, oh, a bit of a check-in.
Yeah, gotcha.
Rather than the other way around. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. It's 2019. Mm-hmm. you know, 2009, I actually saw a photo of you on Instagram when you did that sort of comparison thing, and to that, you looked very different 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I had more hair and it was darker. I know that for sure. But in this past decade, tell us about that journey and what you'd love to acknowledge and celebrate in the past 10 years.
So I'd love to celebrate the fact that I just trust the process, that mm-hmm. I trusted my dream. And even though, you know, 10 years ago, I did just move to Brisbane, I ended up living at my auntie's place, sharing a bunk bed, you know, and I was 30 something, like I was supposed to have my life together by then. And I was just like, what the hell is happening here? I was working two jobs, trying to get, you know, money together. And I celebrate the fact that these are not failures, that it's actually just pointing you in a new direction and giving you more strength to get things going, basically. But the one thing I know that I've always had is that desire that everything's going to get better. That's never wavered within me, if that makes sense. Or yeah. that passion that I have for making the world a better place, it's never wavered. And I've always believed that there's got to be a way, you know, just because someone says no doesn't mean no. It's like there's got to be, there is a way.
Gotcha. And when you say trust the process, is that trusting how life's unfolding and trusting with that positive anticipation, that positive thought that it's all going to work out? Is that something that's come to you more and more in the past decade?
That's something that's come to me more recently. Yeah. I wouldn't say it was there like 10 years ago. I think that's what I've learned. That's definitely what I've learned. Over the past 10 years is to trust it and know that it's happening for a reason. You
know? Yeah, okay. So Mel, I've loved exploring and discussing your past decade, your journey in Brisbane and what that's been like, and now living in Bali. Just how long have you been living in Bali for?
I've been here for 5 years now. It was five. Actually, this will be later, so five years.
5 years, moving to six. Yes.
Yes.
Now, in the past 5-6 years, maybe the past decade, you've achieved some amazing results and amazing things with the work that you do. Let's celebrate some of that. Let's talk a bit about that. So tell me a bit about the work you do and let's celebrate that.
Yeah. You know, the thing that I'm celebrating the most right now, and it is like something that I just pinch myself almost every day, is the fact that the world is waking up and it is changing. Because when I started the psychosomatics, so I did my training and then I would be ringing my friends up going, can I do a face reading because I need to practice my work? And they're like, oh, what? And I was like, face reading. And they're like, yeah, okay. And so I do the face reading and it's related to the chakra system, and I would be talking about the chakras and they're like, so they were kind of interested, but they were just like, you're crazy. You know, like, you know, when you have that feeling when someone just walks around, you're like, oh, okay, they think I'm crazy. And it's really funny because now I've had friends from the past actually starting to follow me and they're doing my courses now and they want to learn more about this because it's like, through technology and the advancements that we've had, we've got more information at our fingertips. So it's opened up the minds and hearts of people to think, oh, maybe there is another way that we can do these things.
And so what I'm hearing is the insights and the understanding that you've got more accepted and more embraced now than what they were some time ago.
Totally. And, you know, when I first came to Bali, it was I just kind of had enough of the Western world. It was like, I just need a place where I can nurture and bring my business idea to life, basically. Mm. And, you know, when I came here, instantly I understood what feminine energy was about. I already knew what it was about, but I felt it here.
Yeah.
And then after being here for 3 years, you know, when you're somewhere for long enough, you kind of have your own belief patterns. And I was like, yeah, the Western world, they have no idea, like, this is not happening. And I went to Singapore to a conscious living festival just a couple of years ago, and they were talking about this. They were talking about sustainability and humanity, sort of problems in the business world. And I was just like, holy crap. Like, they're here. Like, they're having, at least they're having the conversations.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And that's when I was like, this is good. It's happening. It's and so I'm really glad I didn't give up on what my idea was and how to bring it forth, because it hasn't been easy. You know, I have had many people question what I'm doing and, you know, or palm it to the side and things like that. But now I feel like, you know, it is more widely accepted, because I have been to places like Lululemon in Singapore and even invited to the Chamber of Commerce to, you know, present this work to them, and they loved it as well. And I was like, wow, like, the world is accepting new ideas and new ways of doing things.
Yeah. And I can imagine that the term of soft skills of that's applied and thrown around so much around the understanding people, that they're soft skills. They're actually quite hard, because we're talking about people and understanding people, but they're also so important. And what I know from this work you do, it gives us a real insight into understanding ourselves and those around us at a deeper level.
Yeah, it's funny. As soon as you said soft skills, I got this like you know, my core message right now is that humanity and sustainability needs to come before economics. Mm-hmm. There is so much education that needs to happen around that. But it's good at least that the conversations are happening, and that, you know, at least people are, you know, business owners are becoming more conscious, you know, even just to the fact that they have to become sustainable now because of all the climate change issues that we have.
Yes.
At least something starting that, you know. But, yeah. You know, I don't think a company can become truly sustainable unless its people are conscious. And that's the thing. That's the little piece that I think is still missing a little.
Yeah, I think that's a really good perspective, that we have been shifting the focus to from profit to the planet to sustainability to understanding our impact as organizations on the world. Yet there's still the people element that's amongst all that. That's still not quite there yet. There's still a lot more work to be done there. Oh, certainly a lot more work to be done on the climate as well. I'm looking out my window right now with bushfires not far away. So, but yeah.
And this is the thing, I think, too, like 10 years ago, even though, you know, I care about the world, at that point in time, I didn't care about the world because my life was so shit.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't know if I swear or whatever.
You can.
Yeah, but that was basically what it was. And it's hard to care about a bigger thing when our own personal place is not feeling safe, it's not feeling great, it's not feeling whatever. And so I think that is what I'm celebrating, is that now I'm at a point where I can easily see the bigger picture and may start making a more of a impact on a bigger level, because I've kind of sorted my own self out.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha. Totally understand that. Yeah. And I can totally relate to that. Now let's look forward. So we have a bit of a chat about the past and right now, and you know, we're at 2019, we're heading into the roaring 20s. Maybe we're going to go back 100 years and have some cool clothes and haircuts.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know.
I love the 20s.
Yeah, it was a good time from what I believe. But what do you see the next decade looking like, and what are you envisaging, and what would you love to achieve?
So I'm excited. I actually feel the same as I did when I was 21, when the year 2000 happened, because I was a little bit naive to the world at that point, and really excited, and like it was like infinite possibilities. And for the first time since then, that's what I feel like right now, that there is infinite possibilities that what we can create. I feel like the people that are complacent, they're going to start having a really hard time. Like the people that refuse to do things differently, the people that refuse to look after themselves, life is going to start to become really, really difficult.
Yeah.
Whereas those of us who have started that wake-up process, it's actually going to become more, it doesn't mean it's not going to have its challenges, but it's going to be more free-flowing. There's a bit of a more agility there to sort of work with the environment around us rather than thinking this is how it's going to be. So I feel like, yeah, there's still a few years of, you know, and you look around the world and there's all sorts of stuff rising to the surface, like it's just bubbling consistently.
Yeah.
You know, I think I found out about, you know, Bikram or whatever the other day as well. And it becomes tiring to hear all these stories, but I just see it as a detox process.
Mm.
It's like the world has to detox, like, or and to detox all the stuff has to come to the surface for us to be able to clear it out.
So you think over the next few years, we're going to see more stuff coming to the surface to as detox as part of that process to help us move forward as humanity?
Yes, because to see that makes you start questioning your own ethics. It starts you asking yourself the questions, how inauthentic am I being with what I'm doing, what I'm saying, how I'm being in the world, you know? And so it's kind of like it needs to happen. Because that's how our, you know, consciousness as a whole is going to rise around the world. No matter if you're a mum, a dad, a kid, business owner, like we've all got to play a part to play in it all.
So, So Tammy talks to me sometimes about the pendulum swing, and she says like the pendulum's been one way, and now it's starting to swing back another way, which is I can imagine some of that disruption, the toxicity stuff coming to the surface. And then it's going to maybe come back and balance out again.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that that's because that's when we do that internally within ourselves as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think, I don't know about your circles, but I know my circles. It's like, holy moly, I've gone through so much in the last couple of years of growth, of whatever. And it's like preparing us for a more harmonious future. You know?
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I'm seeing more of that. And I think on... online there's more of that happening, and I think that human connection is certainly something which is, as much as we've got the digital age and that digital connection, that human connection is something which is just coming back around more and more and more.
Yeah. And you know, the beauty about artificial intelligence and technology is that it is actually going to push us to that point where we must do meditation, where we have to unplug, you know, because I know I got to my limit recently and I was like, I just have to get off this. I cannot be on this all the time. And so I think more and more people will start doing that as well.
Yeah. So what about your personal goals? If we're going to put it out there to the ether, to the universe, what would you love to achieve?
Yeah. Well, I was loving it when you asked me this question, because I was like, yeah, what do I want to achieve? And I'm sitting there, I was writing down the number, and I was like, I want to affect and help change 1 million lives by 2030. And I really, in my core, believe that. Like, if you asked me that, say, 5 years ago, I could have said the number. But you know when you say a number and you're just like, oh, no, I'm probably gonna do
that. Yeah.
Whereas now I feel like I know how I can do that. And in fact, it could even be more than that.
You know? Yeah.
But really to support them in shifting and coming back to that center place where they do feel good within themselves, so then they can give back to the world.
And when you work with people, when you help people, when you help people come back centered, grounded, and tapping into that, what does that look like in the way that you work with people?
Yeah, so I've created a course, I guess I'm going to call it, called the Business Chakra System. First of all, it's about awareness. So at the moment, I'm doing a lot of things to bring people's awareness to themselves. Like being here in Ubud, it's great. We've got so many executives and, high corporate managers that come here just going, whoa, I need a break. I need to sort this out. This is not working for me. So working with them just to reassure them that everything's going to be okay, and just showing them that there's a new way that you can come back into business and still be successful, still be part of that sort of area, but do it more from the heart. Yeah. Know that you can make different decisions, becoming emotionally intelligent to do that. So I teach Sherpa philosophy for business in the online sense, like on an online platform, but then I also love doing talking and running face-to-face workshops as well. So that's the main ways that people work with me.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, if I gave you the opportunity to have a skywriter, and that skywriter can put your message over the world and everybody around the world can see that message, they can't avoid it. It's there, and it's environmentally friendly, might I add as well, but it's there. Okay. And this is, Mel, your message, and everyone's going to see that. What message would you love that to be?
it would have to be that humanity and sustainability must come before economics. Because economics is currently number one, mm-hmm. that is why we're in this chaotic turmoil, place of turmoil, right?
Yeah.
When we put humanity and sustainability first, and it starts with the individual, it's not even from a company point of view. It's like when you put your own humanity and sustainability first before economics, that's when the balance is going to come into play. You know, so I'm hardcore about that. If those values changed, hopefully before 2030,
yeah.
but if they change by the end of the next decade, my work is done. I'll be like, we've done it. High five, 10 five. Yeah.
Yes, awesome. I feel that I can feel your energy when you talk about that and the impact that can make. And there's some companies doing some great work about around that, and some people doing some amazing things to raise that awareness. But I think your core message there, it starts with the individual actions that we can all take to make that change.
Well, there's no separation between you and your business. That's like my tagline. So, you know, your business might be running great, but if your relationships in other places aren't, guess what? It's all going to be interconnected.
There's no separation between you and your business. And I, from what I'm hearing you say, that goes for no matter if you run your own business or you're an employee in an organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, where is the number one best place for people to connect with you online?
They can come to my website, which is seedtosoul.com.au.
Yeah.
And from there, it's got all my social media places. It's got loads of information about Chakra Philosophy for Business and Psychosomatic Therapy as well.
So, Mel, I've absolutely loved connecting with you today, talking about the past, your journey, the knowledge that you have and how you impart that and inspire people with that. I've also loved the experience I had from learning about myself from you earlier this year and the impact I saw in live real time with people going, that's why. Now I understand. That's why I do this now. And that depth of understanding they're getting quite quickly about themselves and others. And your vision for humanity and sustainability before profitability, before business, I think is such a strong message. And I look forward to connecting with you again early next year to really talk about what the sacred chakra philosophy looks like in business and how we can help more people understand what that looks like for them.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
See ya.
Thanks for listening. If you got something out of this episode, make sure you share it on social media, hashtag inspired energy, and also use the hashtag Roaring20s. And look out for the next episode of the Roaring20s podcast series.